Sorry about that, Ian. I was just on another call multitasking. Apologies.
Hi. Yeah, you shared a couple of examples in the chat. You talked about my cat and Finio. Can you share with us what they've done for each of them has done for you?
Yeah, sure. So it was mentioned earlier, Mike was mentioning about trying to get information on those more obscure holdings and VCTs in there. So MyCap will do that with a lot of the providers on a quarterly basis. And with you, data feeds for everything is great. So where we can't get them on a daily or weekly, if we can get somebody pushing the data to us on a quarterly, then that helps. And then in terms of Finio, so we use 7IM and a lot of the data feeds into back office is all done through Finio. And I'd worked with them previously trying to get more information at policy level. So this was back when Transact said the transactions were too complicated for them to send it to a back office. Finio were able to plug the gap and basically break down the however many versions of transactions into basic contributions and withdrawals at policy level that could then be leveraged. So I guess I take the approach that I like the financial planning side of it, I like using the tech, but I don't want to become an expert in the tech. It's a whole other field. I also think that Microsoft and Apple haven't got it sorted yet. So we're trying to get things much smaller to work together. And it's just picking where stuff can be done, and we'll try and use it, but with a view we outsource that sort of stuff.
That's great. I'll call out Emma Warren. You've just made some points about taking the time to fully investigate what systems can do. Would you like to come on and share a bit more about that? I think you've made some really valid points there.
Yeah, it's just really, when I first started working at the company I'm at now, they'd had IO in place for, I think, about 4 years. And I started looking at it and I was thinking, well, you're not really using it properly. You're spending all this money every month. So we've really sort of like, in the last sort of 7 years, we've really doubled our efforts to get to know how it works better. And we've now got all of our fees on there, which was a mammoth task. And we've also cleansed all the data. It took us probably 3 years to do it. But from the point of view of consumer duty, I can press a button now and I can tell you what a client we've earned on a client. And, you know, we couldn't do that before. And it made our consumer duty so much easier to do. But it took a lot of effort to get that to that point. And I think that's the point I'm trying to make. It's, you know, all these things that we can use. And I'm looking at this AI stuff at the moment and I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know if we're going to be able to use it. Unless you actually put the time in and make a proper effort to understand it fully, you'll never get what you need out of it. Because a lot of people say, oh, AI is rubbish. I actually don't think it is. But I think that you've got to put the effort in yourself to get the best out of it. And I think that, you know, you look at the alternatives and I'm not entirely convinced that there's anything out there that's any better. I think Advisor Xplan, I've seen that recently. I don't think it's bad, but I don't think it does anything particularly more than what IO already does for us. So, yeah, I think it's like anything. I mean, Anya just said about MyCap. We've got it and I have still not got to grips with how we can do the reporting on it. And I was just sitting when she said that, I thought, I've really got to do that. But it's I need to spend the time on it. I need to understand how to do it properly so that, you know, when we present the reports to the clients that we can do it properly. And that's the point I was trying to make, really.
I think that you made a hugely valuable point, not just about IO. And I think it is very true with IO. Let's face it, you're paying for the whole lot. It's really important. They're not going to give you a discount if you only use half of it. I mean, we've got the piece of research that we've conducted and that a number of you have completed. And I'm going to put the link up at the end again, just to nudge people a bit. But one of the things that we ask in that study across all the systems is what extent of use are people getting out of their software? If you are paying an amount of money for your software, it really, really is worthwhile making sure you've got it doing. I remember one occasion, we spend a lot of time, frequently firms will come to us when they're on the verge of switching from A to B. And our first question is always why, What is it about the other side that looks greener? What can this new solution do that your current one can't? And so often we find a situation. I remember one very large organization, I'm not going to name them, who came to us for a specific, in exactly that situation, to validate a change of supplier. And we asked them what it was explicitly they wanted. And this particular organization was spending a fortune physically mailing files around the country because they didn't believe that there was a function in their existing system provider to allow remote access. That functionality had been there for 6 years. And they then went did a huge project. So it is all there. I'm very mindful of time. We're beginning to come to wind up. Mark and then Emily, please. I'm going to ask you, our last subject is, you know, embedding consumer duty in your technology roadmap. You're at different stages on this journey, but how important do you think that is, and what tips would you give people about prioritizing that? Mark, can I come to you first?
Yeah, I don't think that you can meet the consumer duty requirements without using the technology. I think that's the first thing to say. I think to do it any other way is going to be very, very expensive. I think our view is we are not there yet. We know what we earn from every client. We don't know what profit we make. We don't know whether the fees are fair or not, because it's all very well saying, oh, this client paid us this much, but how much time did you spend on that client? How much profit have you actually made? So some clients, you know, you earn loads of money, but you don't actually make much money because you're getting a big return and big fee, but they're very demanding. So so we've got half that information, and we're working on getting the rest of it. So we just see that, you know, as I say, we will get there, but it's just going to take us a little bit more time. And, you know, we're really positive. Our data is better than it's ever been, but it's still not quite good enough. It's still not quite all together. So that's where we are at the moment.
So, sounds to me, though, like you've got a very clear view of where you're trying to get to. And, yeah. the fact that your process has taken you, I'm particularly impressed by that point there of recognizing, you know, how much money you get, but you don't know how much profit you make, and bringing the data together. And I think that goes back to earlier points about provider efficiency and how much effort is actually spent on individual customers. So, you know, I think that's a really important.
I do agree. And I think ultimately we will be changing, as someone mentioned earlier about changing their service propositions. I mean, we have various service propositions at the moment. We know they are not right, and we know we need to change them. But without knowing what profit you make, it's very difficult to actually do that. So we've got all these things that we want to do, but we can't get there quite yet. We will be able to get there. We've got a target for certain key stages by the end of this year. And then we'll move on. You know, if we were having this conversation in 18 months' time, I think we'd be a very different point in that journey, and I'll be disappointed if we're not.
And it's probably worth sort of reinforcing at this stage, my understanding, you know, particularly with the FCA, anyone getting a visit now, what they want to see is your progress on the consumer duty journey. They're actually okay if people are saying we haven't got there yet, but we know how we're going to get there. And technology is an excellent way of demonstrating exactly that you are committed to that path. With that, Emily, can I come back to you? Because you, as you said at the top of the call, you're a long way. You know, you've had a real success story. How have you embedded this technology through your consumer duty journey?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think the sort of going back to the client sort of point of view on this, I think that was, and like we've sort of discussed, you know, having a plan first, because I think you can implement all of this, but if it doesn't work for your clients and it doesn't bring you what you need, it's just a waste of time. So I think a big thing for us is our client engagement with all of this. And, you know, like I say, we're a year in, you know, it seems like it's worked. We've kind of put the right things in place. So I think firstly for us, client engagement with it, how can we report on if clients are actually using this and if it's actually, it's proving to be beneficial to us creating our process this way. I think we had, you know, we asked for feedback from clients in the early stages, new clients, to make sure that, you know, the whole process was easy. I think going back to that, I think that's the biggest thing for us when we've been looking at this, is what is going to make this process as simple for clients as possible. I think someone said when they joined in, you know, there's no point unless clients are able to use this and it works for them. So I think moving forward with everything that, you know, we're sort of looking at, it's never ending. I think, you know, I'm quite positive in the fact that, you know, we've managed to implement Planner and it's really transformed our business. There isn't anything that we can't export. And so I think from a roadmap sort of perspective, I think the idea being that you are able to make a client journey as simple as possible. And I think that's how we're feeding our technology into this at the moment, to make it easier for us, but also for the client.
Thank you. I think that's a brilliant note on which to finish. Normally at the end of something like this, I'd ask for a round of applause for we've had two excellent panelists in Emily Loveridge from Abode Financial and Mark Lloydall from Camborne Financial Planning. Really do thank you. I think there is a little applause button, so maybe people. Oh, James, did you want to say something? Oh, yes, James is using the virtual applause button. Thank you very much. I'm just putting in there a link to our tech survey. If you haven't completed that one, I would urge everybody please to complete that if you haven't already. As I say, 1 in 10 chance of winning a £100 voucher. Thank you very much. Just to finish off then, you will get feedback forms from us shortly. Please, please, please do return them. They really matter to us. They enable us to build the future sessions around you. Talking of future sessions, other events which advisorsoftware.com operate. I just realized I put the wrong link in and Darren's put the right link in for the survey. So please do the link that Darren put in, not me. Apologies. Protection Forum. We have other forums. The Advice Tech Forum I mentioned on the 15th of October. That's Artificial Intelligence in Financial Advice. We are launching a Consumer Duty Alliance forum on protection. A lot of protection advisors, a lot of wealth advisors don't engage with protection. We've actually got Keith Richards coming to talk to us about why it's so important for advisors to engage in protection, and also with two very experienced in protection industry leaders, Emma Thompson and Aled Richardson, who will be sharing their experience and how to make it easier to address that. That's on the 29th of October. And then our dedicated protection forum is on the 5th of November. Maybe some fireworks on that one. Other sources of information, if you're not used to using them, advisorsoftware.com has an absolute wealth of information on technology. protectionguru.co.uk and benefitsguru.co.uk are resources. They're all there, free for advisors to use to get more technical information. Protection Guru particularly has been highlighted by many as being the leading technical resource for protection advisors these days. And if you're talking about advice software, which we are, we have been today, advisorsoftware.com is absolutely packed full of information that's free to advisors. I'm going to thank everybody for their time today. I hope you found that as useful. Look forward to seeing you on another one of our calls soon. Thanks very much.